living longer and staying healthier. It's Healthy Talk with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. Here's your host, Dr. Mike.
Mindfulness meditation made simple. Mindfulness meditation. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not even sure if I know what that means. But that's why I have the expert on with me. His name is Charles A. Francis. He's the co-founder and director of the Mindfulness Meditation Institute. He has published numerous articles and is the author of a new ebook, Mindfulness in the Workplace, How Organizations Are Using Mindfulness to Lower Healthcare Costs and Increase Productivity. Charles has a master's degree in public administration from Syracuse with a focus on healthcare management and policy. Charles, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Well, good morning. Thank you for having me on.
So this idea of mindfulness meditation, I guess maybe I just need to start off with a basic question. What is that?
Yeah, well, that's a big source of confusion. Mindfulness meditation is one form of many different forms of meditation to help us. Generally, they all help us calm our minds so that we can focus better and relax and just lower our stress level. The purpose behind the mindfulness meditation is to develop mindfulness. And mindfulness in its simplest form simply means awareness of what's happening around us, awareness of what's happening within us, our mind, body, our emotion, because we often don't see things as they really are. You know, we see things from the lens of our preconceived ideas, things that we heard in the past, or from our emotional reaction. So with mindfulness meditation, we train ourselves to observe objectively. The other thing that it does is it helps bring us into the present moment. Because if you think about it, all of life is happening in the present. Very often we're caught up in thinking about what happened in the past or thinking what's going to happen in the future, how things are going to be better or maybe worse in the future. So we lose touch with the present moment, which is where reality and life is always taking place. So yeah. Mindfulness meditation helps us bring us back to the present moment. Well,
so Charles, I think it was Mark Twain who said, "I have so many problems in my life. Thank God most of them never happened." I think that's kind of what you're saying, that we're so focused on past, you know, future, we forget to live and be mindful of the present. If I am more mindful, if I become more mindful of the reality of my current situation right here, right now, how does that help me, say, like health-wise, emotionally-wise?
Well, it helps steady our emotions because we don't get into all these unrealistic thoughts of things, like you said, are never going to happen. So we don't jump to conclusions as to what's the worst thing that's going to happen. So we don't react to that. So the other thing that does, by calming our minds, we eliminate a lot of the excess thinking, which really agitates our mind and it keeps us from being at peace. So I really think that our mind, its more natural state is to be at peace. The problem is that we're always agitating. We're always stimulating it with something. We're stimulating it with a lot of activities, you know, too many commitments, a lot of background noise. So anything that stimulates any of our senses will trigger thinking. So with mindfulness meditation, we relieve stress by just helping our minds calm down more naturally by itself.
You know, Charles, it's a rare segment that I don't try to fit in something about my dog. She's really good at living in the moment, being mindful of the moment, and she seems like she has not a care in the world. But of course, that's just a dog. What was your inspiration for all this? I mean, what made you just want to focus on helping people be more mindful of the reality of, like, right now?
Well, I've been following a spiritual practice for most of my life, so for me, it was more natural to want to do that, and it was always ingrained in me to be of service to other people from a very young age. Now, when I started on meditation, it took me a long time to understand it, to figure it out, because everybody was doing something different, and I really just couldn't put my head around it as to what exactly meditation was. then I realized that everybody was doing a different form of meditation. And the other thing is, we didn't, you know, back in the 90s, we really didn't understand the technique very well, at least not many people here in the West. So once I learned about mindfulness meditation, I learned the techniques, I figured them out, and I realized it was a lot simpler than I thought. Now what took me years to figure out, I teach in a 1.5 hour session, do a demonstration, and I show people that inner peace is just a few minutes away when you know the techniques and how to apply them.
Well, let's talk about that. So in your book, you write about 12 steps to, of the mindfulness meditation practice. And I don't expect you to go over all 12, because I want my listeners to go check out your ebook. But maybe just give us 3 or 4 of some of the key steps in mindfulness meditation practice.
Okay. Well, first of all, the reason I developed 12 steps is to make it a lot easier for a beginner to get started. Because very often in a fast-paced world, we want things shown to us step by step. You know, just tell me what to do so I can do it. So that's what I've done with the 12 steps. Now the first few steps, 1, 2, and 3, they're about basic principles of a meditation practice. Like first of all, understanding our suffering, you know, how we suffer, why we're not at peace. And we also talk about some of the things that get in the way of our development of mindfulness. In step 2, we talk about our tools of observation, which are concentration and mindfulness itself. Because remember, what we're trying to develop is our ability to see the world more objectively, without our views being tainted by our emotions or our preconceived ideas, which, you know, may not be entirely correct, because we developed these views from years ago. In step 3, we look at some of the things that overstimulate our minds, like I was talking about, the background noise, too many activities, too many commitments, and, you know, sometimes, you know, unresolved issues from the past. And step 4 is an important one, because there we learn to structure our meditation session or our practice so that it suits our individual lives, because everybody's different. Everybody has different commitments, different availabilities of time, different times when we feel.
So let me ask you though, Charles. So you have these 12 steps, and it sounds like it's kind of like the mindfulness meditation for, you know, made simple for people just like me. But I think when people picture somebody meditating, you know, they picture the person in that weird sitting posture, and, you know, and they're able just to really get into that meditation. So I think a lot of beginners are a little worried that they're not going to be able to do that. I mean, do you break down some of those barriers? Do you have hints and tips for beginners of how to get through some of those challenges of meditation?
Oh, yeah. One of the first things we talk about is not to expect perfection, because very often we think that if we don't completely quiet our mind when we start meditating, that we're not doing it properly. And that's just not so. It takes the mind a few minutes, and, you know, sometimes over time, for it to settle down and be quiet. You know, it's difficult for any of us, even with experience, to completely shut our mind down.
Right. Let's do this, Charles. Is there a website that my listeners can go to check out your articles and books on mindful meditation?
Yes, it's Mindfulness Meditation Institute, all one word, .org.
That's Mindfulness Meditation Institute .org. So when we come back, we'll continue with Charles Francis, and we're going to talk about emotional wounds. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay with us.